Thank you. You may be seated. I got to ask, there was an old TV show a few years ago called Revolution. How many of y'all watched that one? Wow. Maybe that's why it got canceled. Anyways, this show called Revolution, it was based upon a dystopian world in the modern day where everything electric quit working one day all at once. You know, planes dropped from the sky, cars died on the highways, people panicked, well-regulated militias rose up. But all in all, most people tried to survive. They formed their own little communities and societies out in the suburbs, and they pretty much abandoned the cities. You know, physicists became school teachers, teaching little children, and other overqualified people had to become essentially hunters and gatherers in this society. I loved it. It was great because it was based in the South. And I could look around and be like, man, it reminds me of home. And I remember this one particular episode. It stood out to me. So it's post-apocalyptic. So obviously there's going to be some nature overtaking things that people have built. And in this episode, there was an abandoned theme park that one of the leading protagonists was venturing through. And I began to look a little bit closer at the TV. I remember tilting my head and looking at it and saying, I know that roller coaster. It was the Zeppelin from the Hard Rock theme park in Myrtle Beach. And then the next year, after the Hard Rock park went belly up, it became the Time Machine at the Freestyle Music Park. And then it went out of business at the end of that second season. And I knew it because I had worked across the street from it for an entire year while they were building it back in 2006 and 2007. Needless to say, 2008 was a bad year to open up a theme park in Myrtle Beach. As well as to try to find a job or buy a house or have a kid. But I looked at it and I thought, wow, they did not have to build that set. Nature took it over on its own. It didn't matter how much concrete they had poured in that place or what structure was built. After a few years, the theme park was succumbing to that divine nature of God. It was succumbing to creation. It was reverting back to what we know from the account that we heard this morning. So quickly, how soon we as humans are forgotten once we leave a place. But we talk about creation, and we look here important. It seems like we have a good amount of God's good creation around us, right? We got plenty of trees, got lots of squirrels and raccoons. We have nice grassy front yards, a veritable far cry from what exists just a short drive from us. Y'all know that concrete jungle there. Homes with no yards, apartments that tower above the streets, concrete and glass as high as you can look. Now that said, overall, how do we treat the world that we've been given by God to look after? Do we fall short? Where do we fall short? Mountaintop removal? Have y'all ever ridden around West Virginia and seen where a mountain used to exist? But now it is a perfect plain. What about GE back in the day and those PCBs in the Hudson River? Remember when they shut down the fisheries there? Several years ago, they were looking at trying to clean up the mud out of the bottom of the river that contained all of these polychlorinated biphenyls, but they realized if they stirred up the mud, they were only going to make it worse. You know, the kids that sang this morning, they're probably not even old enough to remember Deepwater Horizon. How many of y'all remember it the day it exploded? Exxon Valdez. I think I was a little kid for that one. Y'all ever hear of the Savannah River site? Down in South Carolina? It's where every bit of nuclear waste used to go from this country, and it was stored along the Savannah River. How many of y'all have ever ridden New Jersey Transit on the train from Newark into the city? When you're hugging the river and you can look out and you kind of see this bunker-looking building along the, I guess it's the Passaic River, I can't remember right off the top of my head, and it's got some great big old planters with trees growing on it. Well, that bunker's there because that particular site is so toxic they just encased it in concrete. But back in the 60s, the Cuyahoga River, Didn't that bad boy catch on fire? It was so polluted. And out of that, I believe, was the birth of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. Even as a kid, when I would go fishing with Grandma and Granddaddy overnight on their pontoon boat on the Intercoastal and the Waccamaw Rivers, I remember the tide would rise and then the tide would come out, and as it was coming out of the swamp on the side of the pontoon, you could see the oil building up along the side, and it actually stained the pontoons on the boat. What about that great big hill over behind Harbor Links? And if you think that garbage dump was huge, y'all should see the ones down south where the garbage trains go from New York City and other metropolitan areas. They make that one look like a little teeny sandbox there. How have we treated God's creation? Well, let's talk about what God thought when creation was finished. At the end of each day, God declared, you know, it was good, right? But after creating humanity and completing God's creation, was it just good? No. It was very good. Now, today is Earth Day. Today is a day where we try to teach our children and remind ourselves of the creation that we've been given to look after, not to lord ourselves other, not to loot and plunder. But what can we do besides our children making corny Earth Day shirts at school and planting a pretty tree or two? And I only say that because Veronica is going to be wearing the corny little shirt I made back in the early 90s for Earth Day. Romy pulled it out the other day, and I was like, how did that thing survive? What can we do? You know, up in the mountains, Pastor Romy and I, we had a similar raised bed project, but it was different in scope, it was different in context. We had Bloomville Episcopal Church, Bloomville United Methodist Church, Hobart UMC, Harpersfield UMC, which, by the way, was not one of our churches, Stanford United Methodist Church, and Sacred Heart Roman Catholic Church. Can you believe all these churches teamed up together to work because of a need in the community? And out of that simple raised garden bed project that all these churches on their sites had these raised beds to raise produce, so many other ideas grew out of this one simple ministry. People were able to bring an idea, and it was not shut down by a church council or by a sessions or by a priest or a pastor. Now, y'all know me. I hate committees. But up there, I formed a committee. Because committees are usually where I send something to die a slow and agonizing death. So if I ever send anything to a committee, I'm sorry. You probably know now why it's there. But out of this one simple project, they formed teams to go out and visit the homebound. We had a retired nurse who would set up shop and she would check people's blood pressure for them. How many of y'all know that the WIC program does not cover diapers? How many diapers can a baby go through in a day? And things are like anywhere from 17 to 27 cents a piece. And sometimes they can use up to 10 a day. That diaper drive where thousands of diapers would come in each month for us to distribute to those women, infants, and children program. Oh my goodness, and then the baby clothes and the baby goods exchange that we set. We were giving away baby clothes, and then all of a sudden one of the moms that 3 months beforehand had taken some of the clothes for her child brought clothes that her child had now outgrown and put them on the table. A ministry started from someone that had absolutely nothing to do from the church. And it was good. No, it wasn't. It was very good. So far right now, we got $1,300. I thought that would build 6.5 or so raised beds if we decided to go the easy route. But you know what I'm going to do? I sat down last night. I started looking. It's going to be a little bit more complicated, but I can take that 1,306 raised beds. I think I can do 10 out of that. And when I say I'll build it, I'm talking about us as the church in the first person. Because I ain't sending this to committee, beloveds. You know, the other day at Contemporary Worship in closing, I shared a story with a little bit of scripture. It's from Isaiah, the 58th chapter. The Lord will guide you always. The Lord will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. As a kid, we had a garden. My grandparents had one year. We had a five-acre field, and they farmed maybe an acre of it, just a small garden. And they planted a couple rows of watermelons in that little garden. That year, it was a pretty decent year for watermelons. We had one that was over 50 pounds, actually. But the next year, they didn't farm. Instead, my dad and I, dad bought an old tractor, and by an old tractor, it would have been new when he was a kid. And we did the entire field, and we planted probably an acre or two of watermelons. That first year, it was not a good year at all for watermelons. Have you all ever seen what happens when the sun scorches the earth in a watermelon patch? It just completely does them in. Then the next year, we planted the same exact thing, but it was a year where it rained too terribly much. And our beautiful flat field that had a gentle dip in the middle of it turned into a pond. We didn't get very many watermelons that year. But then the next year, everything was perfect. We had so many watermelons. In the morning, I would walk out into the field. I would find a smaller one and buy a smaller one, one like you'd buy in the store today for $6, $7, or $8. And I would just crack it open and I'd eat the heart out right there in the field in the morning. Then I'd go and then I'd pick one that was 30 to 40 pounds and bring it back to the house. And I would move the one that I picked the day before off the air conditioner vent and put the one that just came in out of the field on the air conditioner. And we would crack the nice chilled watermelon open on the kitchen counter. And we would leave it sitting there all day long with a couple forks stuck in it. We ate a watermelon a day, probably for 3 weeks, if not longer. Beloveds, we're going to be like a well-watered garden, not too dry, not too wet. We are going to be for the world and for this community. We're going to be that living water because we're going to go out into this community and show them who we truly are and who we truly belong to. Beloveds, we are children of God and we are part of God's creation. May we never forget that. May we unite together in this ministry, in this mission, to show these other churches in port what a worshiping body can do together when we know that together we can do more than we can on our own. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.